The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, September 23rd, through Sunday, September 29th, 2024. The commentary for September was written by Colleen Thomas, a spiritual director and longtime practitioner of centering prayer. She delights in companioning others on their spiritual journey, leading contemplative prayer groups and spiritual workshops and retreats. Learn more at soulcarela.com. That's soulcarela.com. The commentary for Monday, September 23rd, begins with a passage from the book of Acts in the New Testament, chapter 18, verse 3. Because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they worked together. By trade, they were tent makers. For years, I wrestled with my occupation. I have many interests. Some can provide for me financially, others not so much. Singing was my occupation for many years, but it never paid the rent. It took time for me to learn that not every gift or passion becomes a career. Some joys are better as hobbies, while others, like Paul's trade as a tent maker, provide the financial resources for daily life. A wise man once told me, "Here in Mexico, we work to live, not live to work." From a financial perspective, he was not a wealthy man, but I think he understood a balance that eludes many of us. I often think of his words as I practice gratitude for the time I can spend doing what I enjoy most and the time I must spend doing jobs that pay the bills. And now I'm going to read from that full passage of Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they worked together. By trade, they were tent makers. Every Sabbath, he would argue in the synagogue and would try to convince Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with proclaiming the word, testifying to the Jews that the Messiah was Jesus. When they opposed and reviled him, in protest, he shook the dust from his clothes and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then he left the synagogue and went to the house of a man named Titius, Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the official of the synagogue, became a believer in the Lord, together with all his household. And many of the Corinthians who heard Paul became believers and were baptized. One night the Lord said to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will lay a hand on you to harm you, for there are many in this city who are my people." He stayed there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And the moving forward statement for this Monday is, did you know that Forward Movement donates resources to nursing homes, hospitals, and prisons? You can find out more at forwardmovement.org. The passage for Tuesday, September 24th, begins with a passage from Esther, chapter 5, verse 3 in the Old Testament. The king said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given you, even to the half of my kingdom." Here's the commentary. Children are very strategic. I grew up one of four girls, so I learned to negotiate for things I wanted at a young age. Finding a way to appeal to someone's generosity or devise a trade agreement, my Barbie for your headband, is an art. As we follow the story of Esther, we see that she has mastered this tricky business of negotiation. She bides her time, taking into account the situation and the mood of the king. She is deliberate and faithful, posing her requests in ways that help ensure their success. We can learn from Esther's artful negotiations as we deal with one another. And we can give thanks knowing that God is always ready to give, and the only strategy we need is an honest heart. And now I'm going to read from this full passage of the book of Esther from the Old Testament, chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, opposite the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne inside the palace, opposite the entrance to the palace. As soon as the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, she won his favor, and he held out to her the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther approached and touched the top of the scepter. The king said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request?" "It shall be given you, even to the half of my kingdom." Then Esther said, "If it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to a banquet that I have prepared for the king." Then the king said, "Bring Haman quickly, so that we may do as Esther desires." So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And while they were drinking wine, the king said to Esther, "What is your petition? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom it shall be fulfilled." Then Esther said, "This is my petition and request. If I have won the king's favor, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet that I will prepare for them, and then I will do as the king has said." Haman went out that day happy and in good spirits. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate and observed that he neither rose nor trembled before him, he was infuriated with Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home. Then he sent and called for his friends and his wife Zeresh, and Haman recounted to them the splendor of his riches, the number of his sons, all the promotions with which the king had honored him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and the ministers of the king. Haman added, "Even Queen Esther, let no one but myself come with the king to the banquet that she prepared. Tomorrow also I am invited by her together with the king. Yet all this does me no good so long as I see the Jew Mordecai sitting at the king's gate." Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, "Let a gallows 50 cubits high be made, and in the morning tell the king to have Mordecai hanged on it. Then go with the king to the banquet in good spirits." This advice pleased Haman, and he had the gallows made. The moving forward question for this day is, what lessons of negotiation might we learn from Esther or other figures of the Bible? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, September 25th, beginning with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 13. He departed from him until an opportune time. When is an opportune time to be tempted? Therapy and recovery communities often use the acronym HALT, HALT, as a reminder to be wary of times when we're vulnerable to temptation. HALT stands for hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. All scenarios that may lead us to fall into bad habits or make unhealthy or unhelpful decisions. The challenging part for me is identifying when these emotions are driving my thoughts or behaviors. An old boyfriend used to ask me, "Have you eaten today?" That was our code for, "You're in a mood, and I know it's not me, so I'm going to give you a pass and an opportunity to self-reflect." This type of kindness and empathy from a loved one who knows us well can be a gentle invitation to pause and take stock of our day and how we are moving through it. We can't avoid becoming hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. We are human, but we can embrace the opportunities to notice our feelings and offer ourselves the compassionate care that we need. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel for this day, from the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, September 25th, how can prayer help you avoid temptation in opportune times? The commentary for Thursday, September 26th, begins with a passage from Psalm 85, verse 5a. Will you be displeased with us forever? We've all been on one side or another of anger. Sometimes we're the ones dishing it out. Other times we're on the receiving end, accepting anger as a part of the human condition and learning to embrace it and let go is part of life's spiritual journey. The writers of the Psalms are prone to exaggerated emotions, yet I find comfort in the Psalms, where being overcome by anger and rage is not a matter of shame or embarrassment, but rather a human response. The most challenging aspect of coming to terms with my own moments of anger is recognizing how out of proportion I can make an insignificant thing. But it's that very moment of recognition that enables me to let go of my anger. In accepting my own humanity, I can accept the humanity of another. Learning not to sweat the small stuff isn't a once-in-a-lifetime conversion. It's a daily practice. Fortunately for me, there's enough in a day to lend itself to the practice of letting go, so I'm getting quite good at it. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of the Psalms. This is Psalm 85. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and will make a path for his steps. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, what spiritual tools help you diffuse anger, both your own and anger directed at you? Now the commentary for Friday, September 27th. It begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 21a. Now, after these things had been accomplished, Paul resolved in the Spirit to go through Macedonia and Achaia, and then to go on to Jerusalem. Being a peacekeeper can be an exhausting job. I'm often in the middle of button-pushing topics, and as a result, I've learned that navigating heightened emotions takes particular skill and thick skin. In my experience, what many people desire most is to be heard, while others want loyalty, a feeling that someone has their back. I walk the line by staying loyal to a higher purpose, believing that everyone deserves the dignity of being seen or heard. Most often, when a person finds their dignity acknowledged and respected, tension resolves, and along with it, the concern that everyone agrees with a particular point of view. We are in dire need of peace in this world. We can do our best to usher it in by offering everyone the dignity they deserve. We're all made in the image of God, and with this knowledge comes a certain security and safety that makes being right a frivolous pursuit. And now I'm going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 21 through 41. Now, after these things had been accomplished, Paul resolved in the Spirit to go through Macedonia and Achaia, and then to go on to Jerusalem. He said, "After I have gone there, I must also see Rome." So he sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia, while he himself stayed for some time longer in Asia. About that time, no little disturbance broke out concerning the way. A man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the artisans. These he gathered together with the workers of the same trade and said, "Men, you know that we get our wealth from this business. You also see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all the whole of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and drawn away a considerable number of people by saying that gods made with hands are not gods. And there's danger not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be scorned, and she will be deprived of her majesty that brought all Asia and the world to worship her. When they heard this, they were enraged and shouted, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" The city was filled with the confusion, and people rushed together to the theater, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians who were Paul's travel companions. Paul wished to come into the crowd, but the disciples would not let him. Even some officials of the province of Asia, who were friendly to him, sent him a message urging him not to venture into the theater. Meanwhile, some were shouting one thing, some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together. Some of the crowd gave instructions to Alexander, whom the Jews had pushed forward, and Alexander motioned for silence and tried to make a defense before the people. But when they all recognized that he was a Jew, for about 2 hours all of them shouted in unison, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" But when the town clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Citizens of Ephesus, who is there that does not know that the city of the Ephesians is the temple keeper of the great Artemis and of the statue that fell from heaven? Since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rash. You have brought these men here who are neither temple robbers nor blasphemers of our goddess. If therefore Demetrius and the artisans with him have a complaint against anyone, the courts are open, and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges there against one another. If there is anything further you want to know, it must be settled in the regular assembly. For we are in danger of being charged with rioting today, since there is no cause that we can give to justify this commotion." When he had said this, he dismissed the assembly. And the moving forward question for this day: who in your life needs a reminder that they are valued and beloved by God? The commentary for Saturday, September 28th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 42. "At daybreak he departed and went into a deserted place." I enjoy my own company. I can travel by myself, go to the movie theater alone, and dine at restaurants alone. My father, married for 50 years now, finds this strange, but he's getting used to it as we get to know each other better in my adult years. When others learn of my travels, they ask incredulously, "You went by yourself?" But solo travel doesn't mean alone. These days I can be easily connected via social media and interrupted or distracted anywhere. When I really want to be alone, I take a spiritual retreat. On retreat, aloneness becomes solitude and a space where I can be fully present to myself and God. While I find deep fulfillment in the company of others, I also need time in deserted places. In these moments of solitude, I am able to be deeply present to what is, from a leaf blowing across a yard in winter, to the longing of my own soul. And now I'll read from the full Gospel of Luke for today, chapter 4, verses 38 through 44. After leaving the synagogue, he entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him about her. Then he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Immediately she got up and began to serve them. As the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various kinds of diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on each of them and cured them. Demons also came out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Messiah. At daybreak he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowds were looking for him. And when they reached him, they wanted to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. So he continued proclaiming the message in the synagogues of Judea. And the moving forward question or statement, make time this week for retreat as a way to deepen your spiritual life. And as we near the end of the program and the end of this week, let's turn to the passage for Sunday, September 29th, the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. It's from Mark chapter 9, verse 50. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Trying to please everybody is like serving food without seasoning. You might make this decision out of worry that since you don't know everyone's dietary preferences, serving a bland dish is the safest alternative. But true chefs don't dare take this approach. If you can't take a little heat in your food, mind where you eat. I get the impression that Jesus is more interested in expressive behavior, even if it borders on emotional or becomes salty. I have a mixed relationship with my emotions. I was taught as a child to keep my composure in public, and that bottling up feelings was normal, good practice even. The message was clear: pretend. Thank goodness Jesus invites us to be more honest and express our emotions. It's a risk to be vulnerable with others, but I can't have my taste buds be more adventurous than my heart. And now the passage from Mark chapter 9, 38 through 50. John said to him, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able to soon afterwards speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, do you need some salt and seasoning in your life? How might you take a first step in expressing your emotions? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.